Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. In my very last regular episode before I switched to the daily format, I held an interview with Rachel Frazen, who wrote a book about PFAS, the forever chemicals in our water, and the issues that caused and is causing for millions of Americans throughout the country. And in many of those worst cases, you know, the EPA has worked towards creating regulations that protect Americans so that corporations aren't able to use these chemicals. Well, guess what? After Trump made promises at the beginning of his presidency to continue that and to increase protections for Americans regarding PFAS in their food, he's done an about-face, and the EPA has just approved the use of 10 different products using a new form of PFAS or forever chemicals. We'll read a couple of articles here talking about the danger of these PFAS, what the experts are saying, and a little bit about why this has happened. One thing these couple of articles neglect to mention is the fact that the Trump administration and the EPA, just in the first half of 2025, were lobbied by the PFAS industry to the amount of something like $72 million. And since 2023, these groups have spent up to $272.8 million in PFAS-related lobbying. I just want you to think for a second about how messed up it is that a company or multiple companies who create chemicals that cause cancer, dementia, Parkinson's, death, fertility-related issues, etc., can pay $300 million, essentially, in the space of 2 years to the government and to Congress to say, you should let us do this. For Trump, who started his presidency by saying that under Kennedy's guidance, that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, he said, quote, he would play a big role in helping ensure that everybody will be protected from harmful chemicals, pollutants, pesticides, pharmaceutical products, and food additives that have contributed to the overwhelming health crisis in this country. Mr. Kennedy will restore these agencies to the traditions of gold standard scientific research and beacons of transparency to end the chronic disease epidemic and to make America great and healthy again. And yet, 11 months into his presidency, and he has signed away America's health after being lobbied by tens of millions of dollars. All right, let's jump in and read a little bit about these chemicals. So the first article here is in Newsweek, titled Trump Embraces Pesticides After Previously Promising Crackdown. The EPA told Newsweek, comments from EPA critics are just another example of partisan organizations peddling mistruths to the American public to drum up fear and distrust. Sadly, some organizations are only interested in advancing political attacks rather than engaging with the facts about EPA's work or science-based decision-making. However, the article mentions that a Make America Healthy Again report, Make America Healthy Again has been Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s tagline, also mentioned in the lead up to the 2024 election, vows and promises were made by the administration on a promised crackdown. Those appear to have fallen short. The EPA has already sought to approve 5 pesticides containing per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, which is what PFAS stands for, a class of chemicals that was twice banned by federal courts for their harm, and does not appear to be reducing or altering their widespread use across the country. Now, the EPA told Newsweek that pesticides play a crucial role for farmers in ensuring an affordable food supply by protecting crops from pests and diseases, thereby preventing yield losses and keeping food prices stable. They said that pesticides are vital in controlling mosquito populations and helping to prevent diseases like West Nile and Zika viruses, as well as bedbug, termite, and rodent infestations, and that they can protect endangered species by managing invasive species that can transmit disease and compete for habitat. Kayla Nichols, communications director at the Pesticide Action and Agroecology Network, told Newsweek that farmers would be better off now and in the long run if the Trump administration had gone forward with their promises to enact stronger pesticide regulations. while providing pathways for farmers to transition to agroecological pest control methods that do not rely on synthetic agrochemicals. When asked whether she thought approving more pesticides for use was a positive for farmers, she said not at all. And here's part of the issue. She says, research shows that industrial farms consistently have to turn to using more toxic formulations of pesticides at higher rates in order to keep up with pests and weeds that become resistant to different chemicals. She added that getting trapped in this cycle of relying on stronger and stronger pesticides creates worsening conditions for farm workers and communities surrounding these farms. So essentially, it has to do kind of with this concern about producing superbugs that are antibiotic resistant. In this case, we're creating pests that are more and more resistant to the pesticides that we use. Over time, they evolve to the existing pesticides, which requires us to use stronger pesticides in order to keep them away. And in this case, the EPA is turning to these forever chemical pesticides to make it happen. Nichols also said there is a growing concern among farmers, farm workers, and surrounding communities regarding the safety of these pesticides. Even low-level exposure to the herbicide paraquat carries an increased risk of developing Parkinson's disease. And many pesticides are known for possible carcinogens. Farmers in Iowa are now grappling with rising rates of cancer. It's one thing to talk about it in the abstract. It's another thing to see the effects of pesticides on women, children, and families, kids with ADHD, learning disabilities, neurodevelopmental problems, women with health problems, babies with birth defects, long-term chronic health defects like lupus and Parkinson's disease. It is gut-wrenching. Courtney Kerrignan, a professor of food science and human nutrition and of pharmacology and toxicology at Michigan State University, told Newsweek that the approval of PFAS pesticides is surprising given their well-documented hazards. This includes extreme persistence and mobility, which allows them to easily contaminate drinking water and food. She said, and many PFAS are known to be carcinogenic and can interfere with hormone production, reproduction, and the immune system. So these new PFAS, or I guess the new pesticides themselves, contain something called isocycloceram. I probably said that wrong, but that's the best I got. And it is a perfluoralkyl and polyfluoralkyl substance. This article from Food and Wine talks about how the Center for Biological Diversity explained that the EPA's own memorandum on isocycloceram highlighted the potential dangers of this new pesticide, including reduced testicle size, lower sperm count, and liver toxicity. The center also noted that while the memorandum calls the chemical safe, it also states that it should not be applied anywhere near livestock, pets, or children. Quote, for all the rhetoric about caring about children's health and well-being, this administration is quick to throw them under the bus whenever it suits their polluting benefactors. Instead of erring on the side of safety, we get a quick, reckless approval of new forever chemical without any real thought given to its serious harm. There was a 2022 evaluation by the Australian Pesticides and Veterinary Medicines Authority, which was conducted on rats, rabbits, and dogs, found that the ingredient can increase red blood cell production, cause adrenal gland toxicity, lead to weight fluctuations, result in skeletal malformations in fetuses, and cause testicular degeneration. It apparently also has support currently of the European Union, which is considering legalizing its use across a range of produce, including broccoli and coffee beans. But none of that is likely to change the scientific community's overall views on these forever chemicals. When I first saw this news last week, it freaked me out a bit, right? I mean, it still does. But my initial reaction was, how do I protect myself from this? It looks like there's a dozen or more different crops that this is going to be used on. And I currently don't have the ability to, you know, grow potatoes at home or my own corn or lettuce or whatever it may be. I want to get to that point, and this is going to drive me to do it faster. But it seems that the primary concern and where this could have the biggest impact is on the direct localization, the communities where these farms are. In California, the farm workers who are being day in and day out exposed to these chemicals in massive amounts, to the groundwater that is absorbing this chemical running downstream, potentially contaminating the drinking water of those areas around the farms and causing issues for citizens of these towns in California. The amount of pesticide that will remain on the food after it's been washed and consumed by the end consumer, you know, I don't know if that's enough to cause serious issues over time. The articles don't really go into that. I know I'll be washing my food extra, and paying closer attention, you know, in hopes of recognizing which types of farms these are coming from, whether they're organic or not, to do my best to avoid consuming this. This article mentioned one last issue here. It says, the only other group that needs to be worried about this new product is America's pollinators. According to the Center for Biological Diversity, isocycloceram is highly toxic to bees and other pollinators, noting that EPA's memorandum states that pollinators could be exposed to 1,500 times the lethal level of the pesticide. The center added in its statement, one out of every three bites of food we eat, and nearly all nutrient-dense foods like fruits and vegetables, come from plants that need to be pollinated by bees and other pollinating animals. The threats to honeybees and other pollinators have been made known to us over the last couple of decades, with bee populations declining rapidly. It is a huge concern that we are adding in more and more of these chemicals that will kill them, at 1,500 times that lethal level. And meanwhile, with all of this going on, there was an article that also came out last week from The Guardian that says California farms applied millions of pounds of PFAS to key crops. And I recognize I may have said a few times throughout that this was all specifically happening in California. Should note that the things that I just read in the previous articles are nationwide legalized from the EPA and can be used in any farm. I think I was getting that conflated with this article talking about specifically how in California farms, PFAS have already been applied before being made legal. The forever chemicals were sprayed on almonds, grapes, tomatoes, and other crops as activists warn of obvious problem. Said that the California farms applied an average of 2.5 million pounds of PFAS per year on cropland from 2018 to 2023. The chemicals are added to pesticides that are sprayed on crops such as almonds, pistachios, wine grapes, alfalfa, and tomatoes. The risk for uptake of PFAS is likely higher in water-rich fruits and vegetables because water attracts the chemicals. In some produce, these PFAS may concentrate at dangerous levels. Advocates began sounding the alarm over PFAS in pesticides in 2023. The Biden EPA attempted to discredit the author of one study that identified PFAS in pesticides, and the agency appeared to have lied about whether some of the chemicals are in pesticides. Under Donald Trump, the EPA has increased the number of PFAS proposed for use in pesticides. This article was prior to the EPA having officially approved these 10 new pesticides. At least 60% of active ingredients approved for use in common pesticides at the federal level over the last 10 years fit the most widely accepted definition of PFAS, a 2023 analysis of EPA data found. All right. So anyway, again, I guess to end the episode here today, corporations are spending hundreds of millions of dollars to pay the government in order to be able to poison us. Thanks for listening. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.